Hello and welcome to another episode of FinTech Stories, Taylor Wessing's podcast, which explores the latest legal and regulatory developments, trends, and hot topics in the FinTech sector from across the globe. I'm Miroslav Juric. I'm Senior Associate in our Financial Services Regulatory Practice based in our Frankfurt office. And in today's episode, we will have a look at some key regulatory developments around the increasingly popular payment method, the Buy Now, Pay Later. I am pleased to be joined today by Mila Penchova, Senior Associate in our London office, who is part of our Financial Services Regulatory Practice and who has a number of years of experience in advising our clients on various questions in the area of UK financial regulation, and who is together with her team closely working with us on the projects where we support our clients on various cross-border EU-UK related regulatory matters in the ever-evolving post-Brexit regulatory environment. Mila, welcome to our show.
Hi, Miroslav. Delighted to be here. Thank you for inviting me to speak about such a hot topic, no less.
So let's kick it off with this interesting topic. Mila, in recent years, we witnessed an exponential growth of a new type of short-term consumer financing, the so-called Buy Now, Pay Later, BNPL, that basically enables people across the world to pay for goods and services usually purchased online in several interest-free installments. Many consumers have started to use BNPL, especially in the wake of the COVID-19 pandemic and the increasing boom of the e-commerce sector during that time. Nowadays, we also see that BNPL is still continuing to be a very popular way of payment across various groups of consumers around the world, including in the EU and the UK. According to some latest reports, namely from the Research and Markets, BNPL market is expected to grow from $156 billion in 2023 to $232 billion by the end of this year alone. And over the coming years, is expected to rise all the way up to stunning $1.01 trillion in 2028, which is, I have to say, quite eye-popping number. Obviously, the rising popularity of this way of payment has made BNPL one of the key fintech topics in the last couple of years. Hence, it is the topic of our today's podcast episode as well. However, BNPL as a business model was for a long time functioning in many jurisdictions in a rather unregulated or, so to say, gray area, which was a reason for concern for regulators around the globe. So, Mila, let's start by taking a closer look at the UK first. So, I would like first to discuss with you, how is exactly BNPL regulated currently in the United Kingdom?
So currently, Buy Now, Pay Later agreements fall outside of the regulatory perimeter in the UK, but that's provided they meet specific criteria. They tend to fall within what is known as the Article 60F2 exemption, referring to the relevant article in the regulated activities order, which contains the majority of regulated activities in the UK. To fall within the Article 60F2 exemption, agreements must be for fixed-term credit, which is free of interest and charges, repayable over no more than 12 months, and in no more than 12 installments. Also, the agreement must be borrower-lender-supplier agreement. Look, this is quite a complex concept, but in simple terms, it covers agreements where credit is provided for a transaction between a borrower and a supplier, for example, the purchase of goods, and the credit could be provided by the supplier themselves, i.e. the merchant in my example, or by a third-party lender.
Okay, so this basically means that, at least for now, many BNPL providers in the UK are operating in the UK did not need the FCA license under the existing UK consumer credit regulatory framework, right?
Exactly. As a result of falling within the Article 60F2 exemption, firms only offering these types of agreements do not need to be authorized and regulated by the FCA, and are not required to comply with the Consumer Credit Act 1974. These agreements also do not come under the jurisdiction of the Financial Ombudsman Service. That's an independent body set up by Parliament to resolve complaints between consumers and financial services firms. However, the financial promotions of those exempt agreements must still comply with certain regulatory requirements depending on who is communicating or approving the promotion. The financial promotion must be approved by an authorized person, otherwise the entity communicating it risks enforcement action and committing a criminal offense.
Okay, so with this backdrop of very limited consumer protection and very widespread use, it's really no surprise, is it, that the new UK government is pressing full steam ahead right now with their plans to changing the existing regulatory framework?
Indeed. The new government has been very quick to publish the long-awaited legislation setting out the framework for regulating buy now, pay later. The consultation period is not very long and closes on the 29th of November, so everyone interested in this should read it and feed into it as soon as possible. I say this consultation was long awaited because government first took steps towards changing the framework back in 2021, when it introduced legislation allowing it to exclude provisions of the Consumer Credit Act from applying to unregulated buy now, pay later agreements that are brought within the consumer credit regulatory regime. The government also published two consultations in October 21 and February 23 on a detailed approach to regulating buy now, pay later. There has been delay along the way due to lobbying and in anticipation of the general election that happened this year, alongside the rapid growth in the buy now, pay later market. There have been increasing concerns around the product and potential harm posed to consumers through its use and lack of regulation. So yes, the new government has pressed ahead with the reform.
So Mila, tell us now, what will this new framework look like based on the consultation papers that you had a chance to see?
Yes, so the draft legislation amends Article 60F2 so that agreements provided by a third party or a person who is not the product or service provider, which the credit agreement finances, will no longer be exempt. However, due to their low-risk nature, there are specific carve-outs to ensure that, for example, insurance premium financing, social landlord agreements, and employer-to-employee lending would still be exempt, even if they're provided by a third-party lender. But agreements where the lender is also the product or service provider would continue to be exempt as previously intended. Treasury is also proposing to introduce an anti-avoidance mechanism designed to preempt the situation in which a third-party lender could avoid regulation by structuring agreements so that they technically become the merchant in the transaction they're financing, having purchased the goods from the original supplier and the pre-existing arrangements with that original supplier. As a result of these amendments, all third-party lenders providing Article 60F2 agreements will need to be authorized and regulated by the FCA to the extent they aren't already holding permissions for providing regulated credit products. Credit broking of these agreements will continue to not be a regulated activity, except for domestic premises suppliers offering agreements from a third-party lender as a payment option. These will need to be authorized as credit brokers, but they tend to be quite rare. But as with the existing regime, unauthorized merchants offering buy now, pay later payment options will need approval from an authorized person for promoting buy now, pay later agreements unless an exemption applies. So once these buy now, pay later agreements become regulated, new regulatory controls will ensure responsible lending, such as mandatory creditworthiness checks and enhanced consumer rights in disputes, with oversight from the Financial Ombudsman Service. Most importantly, the FCA will establish a modernized disclosure regime for buy now, pay later agreements, aligned with the consumer duty, and government will disapply the majority of the Consumer Credit Act, including information requirements to avoid consumer confusion. The CCA has detailed requirements regarding the information that should be provided by firms to consumers both before a credit agreement is entered into and at key points during the life cycle of the agreement. However, Treasury recognizes that these requirements are not fit for purpose in relation to buy now, pay later, which is interest-free, so a lot of the requirements won't apply anyway, and the product is often taken out on mobile devices, for which it is a well-known problem that the existing disclosure regime is not fit for purpose, and instead of enhancing understanding, could result in confusion. A key consequence to mention of disapplying these provisions is that some of the more severe sanctions in the CCA will fall away. These are unenforceability of the agreement without a court order, or unenforceability during breach and no liability for consumers to pay interest and other charges during a period of breach. These provisions can't be replicated in FCA rules due to limitations on the FCA's statutory powers. So compliance will have to be enforced through the FCA's enforcement powers, as well as customer complaints. And finally, care will also need to be taken because not all of the CCA will be disapplied. The key protections of what is known as Section 75, for example, still apply. This sets out that in certain circumstances, a lender is jointly and severally liable for breaches of contract or misrepresentation by suppliers of goods or services financed by a debtor-creditor supplier agreement. However, this protection is only available for purchases valued between £100 and £30,000, so may not capture a lot of buy now, pay later, which tends to be for a smaller value.
So, if adopted in the proposed form, will the amended regulatory framework have a big practical impact on BNPL providers operating in the UK? Do you expect to see some of them retreating from the market, maybe in front of the new wave of regulatory requirements heading their way?
A lot of the existing big players in the market have the necessary permissions for entering into regulated credit agreements. That's as a result of already having expanded into providing regulated credit products. So they will not need to make the significant investment in time and cost that is required to obtain a license. They will still, however, need to make significant operational changes in relation to the newly regulated buy now, pay later agreements and go through a repapering exercise. However, it is unlikely that such providers would exit the market as a result of these changes. And many, in fact, have publicly expressed support for the new regime and have been actively working with government to ensure that the regulation is set at the right level. However, any existing providers not holding a license will need to obtain one, which can be very costly for an entity that was previously unregulated. And this, together with the uncertainty around being granted the license, could mean that some of them retreat from the market. And this would be a potential barrier to entry for new players in the market. And the draft legislation does set out a temporary permissions regime, allowing for buy now, pay later providers to continue operating while they seek FCA authorization. Such TPR firms will be able to issue financial promotions for their merchants, but can't approve bespoke financial promotions. So there is at least a drive to ensure a smooth transition without unfair disruptions to businesses, but only time will tell what the exact impact will be on the market. So Miroslav, what is the state of regulation of buy now, pay later in the EU at the moment, at both EU and member state level?
Well, the current state of the EU financial regulatory framework applicable to this type of short-term consumer financing arrangement is unfortunately far from harmonized. The existing regime is based on the Consumer Credit Directive, which was adapted back in 2008, and it generally does not apply to the most common credit structures that BNPL providers are using, so namely credit agreements involving a total amount of credit less than 200 euros, as well as credit agreements where the credit is granted free of interest and is to be repaid within 3 months. National laws of some EU member states, however, treat these agreements slightly differently, and therefore this lack of harmonization across the EU single market has for a consequence that BNPL providers operating in more than one EU member states are having to rely on various exemptions and have to comply with multiple diverging regulatory frameworks at the same time. For instance, German national law is treating a variety of financing arrangements as a regulated lending activity under the German Banking Act, including in the case of certain short-term loan agreements when the installment payback schedule. On the other hand, in some other EU member states, the situation is and some was different. For instance, in Ireland, until recently, BNPL providers operating based on the same structure were largely exempted from the supervision and regulation by the Central Bank of Ireland, given that the interest-free deferred payment structures were falling outside the scope of the Central Bank Act from 1997. However, in May 2022, conscious of the risks that the increasing use of BNPL financing as a source of consumer financing may pose, the new Consumer Protection Act has expanded the definition of credit to deferred payments and other similar financial accommodations that BNPL providers usually rely on. Hence, as of May 2022, BNPL providers are required to obtain authorization by the Central Bank of Ireland, as well as to comply with regulatory requirements applicable to entities engaging in loan origination activities in Ireland.
So, bearing in mind that an harmonized regulatory framework is likely posing significant challenges for buy now, pay later providers operating in more than one EU member state, are there some changes on the horizon that would close this gap in harmonization?
Great question. Yes, there are indeed, because conscious of the risks that may arise from this fragmented regulatory landscape, the European Commission has, in June 2021, published a legislative proposal that shall revise the existing Consumer Credit Directive through a new directive, also better known as Consumer Credit Directive 2, CCD2, which will replace the existing framework entirely and will extend the scope of its application to BNPL products. Namely, the current exemption that I just mentioned, so exemption 4, credit agreements where the credit is granted free of interest and without any other charges, as well as for credit agreements under the terms of which the credit has to be repaid within 3 months, has been removed. CCD2 now also captures credit agreements under the value of 200 euros, as well as credit agreements all the way up to 100,000 euros. Previously, the threshold was 50,000. There is only a far narrower exemption now for suppliers of goods and services that offer deferred payment options to their customers. So basically, based on this, they will be able to enable their customers to pay the purchase price in several interest-free installments, however, under condition that they are paid within 50 days. This is a quite significant reduction from the previous three-month repayment schedule under CCD1. This has for a consequence that, practically speaking, first, funding that BNPL providers provide will fall under the definition of credit arrangement under CCD2, and they will be deemed as creditors under the new framework. Second, as such, they will be required to be authorized. Now, I have to clarify here that CCD2 is not a piece of EU legislation that deals with the authorization specifically. Authorization of lending providers is regulated at the EU level under the CRD4 framework, and then banking acts usually that implement CRD4 framework into national law of EU member states. However, CCD2 puts an explicit obligation on EU member states to ensure that creditors that are subject to CCD2 regime are subject to proper authorization and supervision in their respective member states. This practically means that BNPL providers will need to be authorized either at the EU level as credit institutions, for instance, or at the EU member state level, where national laws provide for possibility for obtainment of a specific national lending license that can be particularly suitable for BNPL providers looking to avoid regulatory complexity associated with credit institutions that are given that they're focused on one single jurisdiction. In addition, BNPL providers will be required to comply with a number of requirements under CCD2 that regulate, for instance, advertising of BNPL products. So they will need to comply with requirements and standard information that shall be easily available and that that need to clarify to customers, for instance, the borrowing rate, annual percentage of the rate change, and so on. Also with certain minimum pre-contractual and contractual requirements on the mandatory terms that the credit agreement needs to contain, as well as specific rules on tying and bundling practices, which basically allow BNPL providers to apply the so-called bundling practice, meaning that they are allowed to sell credit in a package with other distinct financial products that are acquirable also separately, but basically that prohibits tying practices, which means they are not allowed to sell BNPL products solely in combination with other financial products that are not acquirable separately.
And what is the timeline on CCD2? What should in-scope entities keep in mind in the meantime?
Well, CCD2 has been officially adopted by the EU lawmakers, and since it is a directive, it has to be transposed into national law of each of the EU27. So member states have now by 20th of November next year to transpose CCD2 into national law. And as of 20th of November 2026, the new rules shall become applicable. BNPL providers that are currently not regulated will need to ensure compliance with the new rules as of this date, meaning they will need to obtain authorization by this date. So I must say that for those BNPL providers that already possess authorization under the existing EU law, for instance, that are operating as credit institutions, we know that some of the major ones rely on the passporting rights associated with credit institutions and operate across the EU single market based on this. Nothing much will change since they are already now required to comply with many of these requirements. However, for those that are operating under an exemption or based on a specific national license that really does not require a license for a loan origination and that cannot be passported into other EU member states, I have to say that these entities shall use the transitional period wisely and look to make a strategic decision and choose the operating model that serves their business strategy in the best possible way. So first identifying target jurisdiction and familiarizing themselves with the regulatory framework there. And also, provided that they need to obtain authorization, focus on the resources, operational, technical, as well as personal resources that are necessary for the purposes of authorization under the new framework. So now I would say, now when we know what the state of regulation of BNPL in the EU and the UK is, I would like to wrap up today's episodes by taking a brief look at one important part of the BNPL puzzle that the regulators around the globe have been particularly concerned about, not only in the EU and the UK, but also increasingly in the United States. Hence, regulatory reforms are on the horizon in many countries. And that is the phantom debt. Given that BNPL providers are not necessarily regulated as credit providers, their exposures are not being reported to credit agencies, credit bureaus in their jurisdictions, which has resulted in the creation of significant volume of debt that is not recorded as such, and hence we use the term phantom debt. This makes the job of credit agencies and the monetary supervisory authorities particularly hard, since they can hardly estimate the level of indebtedness of private households and consumers through BNPL products. In the EU, we have, same as with the regulatory treatment, a fragmented landscape. In Germany, for instance, one of the major BNPL providers EU-wide and the most famous credit bureau, Schufa, have launched a program in 2023, based on which this firm has started to run the so-called soft credit checks on their customers before granting them BNPL finance. In other EU member states where the lending activity of BNPL providers falls below the relevant thresholds for short-term interest-free financing, These generally do not fall under the reporting obligations and are hence not communicated to credit bureaus and therefore are not impacting credit scores of their customers. With the CCD2, however, this will change, given that the new framework will require in-scope firms to carry out a thorough creditworthiness assessment before granting their customers BNPL-based finance. So, Mila, I wanted to ask you, what is the situation in the UK? Is the fear of phantom debt something that is an area of concern for the UK regulators? And are BNPL providers right now sharing credit-related information with credit agencies in the UK?
Yes, phantom debt is also a significant concern for UK regulators, especially as it is likely to impact vulnerable consumers, such as young people who do not fully grasp the consequences of taking out BNPL products, including the potential default charges, or those in financial difficulty who can continue going further into debt when that would not be the best for their financial health. Currently, there's no regulatory requirement, even for regulated firms, to share data on consumers' existing credit agreements with credit reference agencies, although most regulated providers do so, and some buy now, pay later providers have started doing this in relation to unregulated loans as well. In its credit information market study, the FCA proposed a mandatory data sharing requirement with designated CRAs for regulated firms. And in its latest paper on Buy Now, Pay Later, government has expressed support for this and that enhanced data on Buy Now, Pay Later agreements will be beneficial to users of Buy Now, Pay Later and other credit brokers, credit products once the product enters the FCA's remit.
Very interesting. Thank you very much, Mila. So this brings us to the end of our today's episode. I would like to thank you, Mila, for joining me today. It was great speaking to you about this interesting and fast-evolving topic. And thank you all for listening. If you enjoyed the episode, feel free to subscribe to our channel to stay up to date with our forthcoming episodes that will continue to explore our latest legal and regulatory developments, trends, and hot topics in the fintech sector from across the globe.